Hi, welcome to the fourth episode of Two Friends with Nothing in Common. My name's Manuela, and I'm going to start out with a quick story about how Andrew and I have nothing in common. So the other day, Andrew and I were talking on the phone, and he casually mentioned that he saw the movie The Martian. And I said, "Oh, I love that movie." And he goes, "Oh, really? Because I didn't really like it." So I guess that makes sense that you like it so much.
Yeah, true story. Actually, I'm going to talk about The Martian in our pop culture segment today. So, good stuff. Is this the intro song?
I messed up. I have to restart.
No, keep on going.
Keep it rolling.
I love it. Too good.
Sorry, challenge.
I'm dead. All right, so weekly recap. Do you want to start or should I start?
You can start.
Okay, yeah. I feel like you usually start. So last week was spring break, and I kicked off break by going to Kansas City, visited my friend Sam, had some nice bonding time. He showed me the sights since I've never been there before. And we went to the art museum, hiking, and then probably the most memorable part of our trip was we really wanted to watch the movie Three Billboards Outside of Ebbing, Missouri. And Redbox had just released it. So Friday night, we went to three different Redboxes. None of them had it, and we were really bumming about it. And the next night, we're like, okay, we really want to see this movie. So we went to eight different Redboxes. But it wasn't until like we went to the seventh Redbox that night that we realized, oh, you can reserve the movie online. So,
Andrew.
Well, It was frustrating because, like, at the kiosk, like, it would say out of stock, and then it would say, but text to this phone number and we'll tell you where you can get it. And so we thought that was, like, their way of alleviating that problem. But when you texted to that number, it just gave you the location of a random red box. It wasn't necessarily one that had the movie
awkward.
In stock. Yeah. So that was stupid. But we saw the movie. It was great. Loved it. Then I went to St. Louis, and the most memorable thing about my St. Louis portion of the trip was my friend had me pick up some Rally's fries from the frozen section at Schnucks.
Oh, wow. Like Rally's, what a throwback.
Yeah. Well, I've never eaten at Rally's before. And
really?
I didn't. Yeah.
Weird.
I know. Crazy stuff. Actually, no, not that crazy. You eat at Rally's?
I've been there a time or two.
Okay. But I didn't know that they sold fries in the frozen section. And Steak and Shake has
really
fries
good.
In the frozen section also. So I was shocked. They were very tasty. And then the last thing I wanted to add to my weekly recap was we went to the St. Patrick's Day Parade on Saturday.
Yeah!
And
I was there.
Probably the most memorable part of that.
Oh, why didn't you wear this shirt? Oh, you wore your other St. Patrick's Day
yeah,
shirt.
It was, the greens don't match. It would have been too
awkward.
Flashy.
Jeez,
yeah.
Ew.
But no, what do you call it? The parade headmaster or
I don't know, ringleader?
Yeah, the guy organizing the thing. He had like a fancy hat on and kind of like a three-piece suit, not like fancy three-piece suit, but you know, kind of like old-timey.
Yeah, yeah, I
dress.
Was there.
Yeah,
I saw him.
But he was like taking his job very seriously. He was like pushing people back, like out of the street, literally pushing people. And then at one point, someone was in the like angled parking on Commercial Street, and they pulled out when there was a gap in the parade. And he tried to like keep on like going down Commercial Street, even though like the parade route kind of wrapped around down onto Boonville or something like that. And so there's like a row of people, and the guy in the car was just like kind of like motioning for the people to move out of the way. And the parade headmaster just lost it. He was going crazy, like yelling and cussing out the guy in the sports car. And so then eventually the guy in the sports car just joined the parade.
But, that's awesome.
It was a good time.
Nice.
Your go.
All right. Well, my week was very eventful, honestly. over spring break, I went to Guatemala, which is the country that I'm from. So that was super incredible to see those humble beginnings.
Aww.
I met a lot of my family that's down there, and that was just completely mind-blowing and life-changing because I originally thought I only had a sister and a grandma, but it turned out I had tons of family to meet. So that was exciting because I love meeting new people. The language barrier was not amazing. I wish I knew more Spanish, but that's for another adventure, I guess. Yeah, I have so much I could say about my trip to Guatemala. It could fill up this whole podcast. So if you're listening and you really want to know more, please ask me about it and I'll show you tons of pictures. Because, oh gosh, it was just a trip of a lifetime.
It sounds like it.
Yeah. And then I also went to the parade with you on Saturday, because I love parades, and some little turd stole my Twix bar. And his mom was like, no, give it back to her. And I felt bad about taking candy from a child. So I was like, you know what? It's fine. So I let the child have it. And then the child gave it to someone else. And I was like, okay, that was mine. And so I was really mad and it ruined the parade. But yeah, then I just hung out with my friends for the rest of the weekend. Yeah. Oh, another really exciting thing that I did on Monday night, which was last night, is I went to see the movie called The Riot and the Dance, and I'll talk about that in the pop culture segment too, but I just feel like it's worth noting because it was really fun, and it was an exclusive one-time showing in the theater, and I went, so.
Nice.
Yeah, and then, you know, work is normal, like, every day. Well, not normal, but crazy. The kids often tell me funny things. I can't really think of one off the top of my... Oh, wait, yeah. The kids started playing Truth or Dare, and so, just, like, in their free time before we start our program. And so one kid, I just turned around because I felt like someone was standing behind me. And it was one of my girls who's like in sixth grade. So she's 12. And she was just standing right behind me with her thumb up her nose. And I was like, oh, what? And she goes, it was a dare, and like ran away. Yeah, it was
sure
funny.
It was.
Yeah, whatever. Kids are cool. So... All right, are we on to our next segment?
Yeah, our guest today is
Greg Kelly!
Hey, yo,
what's up?
You could probably hear him laughing in the background, Manuela shushing him.
Or sniffing his nose. It's allergy season!
Yeah.
All right, so Greg is here with us this week to talk about fishing.
Yes.
He loves it. He loves fishing.
I do love fishing. What would you like to know about fishing?
All right. Well, Greg, I would like to know...
The basics.
Oh, do you not know how to fish?
Well, I want to hear from an expert.
Oh.
So,
okay, you're right.
You've got many types of fishing rods to start off. I'm going to focus on three. You got a push-button rod, a spin casting reel, and a bait caster. And the two that I use...
Wait, what's the easiest?
You could say a button push. One.
All right.
But I would say, I think for someone who kind of knows how to fish, you can use a spinning reel.
Okay.
That's the one that you're going to use. Most common is a spinning reel. But basics, let's see. Basics, I mean, it comes to weather, comes to type of line, like whether it's braided, fluorocarbon,
or monofilament. Wow, that's real fancy.
Yeah. You have to use those for different situations, use different baits for different situations.
Okay, well, give a situation. What's the most common situation that you're in, always?
Well, I mean, your situation is based on, like, your seasons. You have four seasons. Your other situation could be based on weather during each season.
Okay, well, so here, let's do... What would you do if it was a sunny spring day, let's say low 50s, you are in a pond that has a lot of algae...
A lot of algae. I'm not going to fish
but,
that.
Okay, just kidding. No algae. there's a slight wind.
A slight wind.
And you're fishing for?
Bass.
Bass.
Yes.
So tell me everything you would do.
So spring, around 50 degrees, early spring, that's about this time of year, that is getting close to the spawn. So what you're going to do.
What's a spawn?
The spawn of bass. They like.
Oh, okay.
And make babies.
That's the sound of bass making babies.
That's when they lay in babies. So
wow,
they've got a
babies.
Bed.
What a bee.
Yeah, they
what
got a
baby.
Bed at this time of year. And the mama will be there looking after her eggs during pre-spawn. The bed is getting prepared and stuff. And we're in the pre-spawn to spawn phase, I think. So what I would throw is a jig. And what a jig is, it pretty much looks like a crawdad or a crayfish. Hmm. And those will eat eggs. So you're gonna want to throw that on the bed, and it's a little bit lighter color than like most other parts of the lake. And it's usually around like the bank or something. So you wanna throw that. Just jig it on there.
Then jig on the jig.
That's it, eat it. And then you got yourself a fish.
Nice.
For the most part. Okay, what is your,
Wait, I have a question.
Yeah.
Okay, fine, just cut me off.
Sorry. Well, I just want to ask, so, can you ever use, like, real food for bait? Like, is that ever successful?
Yeah.
Like, can I stick a hot dog on the end of my...
Yeah, most fish will eat that, like, a bluegill of a bass will eat it. Catfish will eat that a lot. With catfish, you throw on stink bait, and it's like peanut butter. Nastier.
Ew. Okay. Like Vegemite?
Something like that. But like, you just stick it on your hook, kind of, with, like, something to keep it on there, and then you let it sit on the bottom.
Okay.
You can do that with hot dogs, too, to catch catfish.
Interesting.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Good to know. Sorry, you can ask your question now.
Okay, thanks. So, so what is your, I almost want to say rate of return, meaning, like, how many times you catch a fish?
Per cast?
Sure.
Per cast? That's difficult.
Okay, then how about just, like, on a day that you go fishing?
On a day that I go fishing, kind of depends on the day. I mean, sometimes you'll just go out there not catching fish.
True.
Depends on the body of water, too. Like, this one place, my favorite place to fish is Lake McDaniel in Springfield. And what sucks about it is that if you go on the bridge or anywhere else, probably going to have a difficult time catching fish, unless you're fishing for crappie. But if you go on the trail where most people don't fish, you'll have a great day. You might catch like 8,
wow,
10 fish. And like my average is like usually 5. And like I think on an average day, my biggest fish will be like a 4-pounder.
Cool.
Thanks.
But I've caught a 5.5 out there before.
Wow. Also. Okay, so do you have a fishing license?
Yeah. So you buy it in February. Well, it expires in February, but you can then buy a new one in February. So, yeah, I have one.
What's a crappie?
Crappie.
It's a fish. It's like a pan fish.
Crappie crappie?
No, it's actually really tasty. Mm-hmm. It's my favorite fish.
Not so crappie crappie.
So, do you keep the fish or do you throw them back in the water?
If they're crappie, I keep them. If they're bass, I put them back.
Cool.
Yep.
So, my last question would be... I forgot my last question.
No.
No.
Okay, wait. Well, I have a question to fill the time. What is something that you personally think is really exciting about fishing?
I think just catching, like, a really big fish. But then again, it's like, if you have a bad day fishing, you have a good day outside.
Oh, so true.
It's like, especially at McDaniel, it's like, I could have a bad day fishing, have a good day hiking on the trail or something. Mm-hmm. It's really fun being out there. And it's peaceful. It's
unwind.
It's amazing. Yeah.
Yeah.
Awesome.
I remember my question. So is it mandatory that you be quiet when you fish?
No.
Because I feel like I wouldn't be.
My dad lied.
I wouldn't be very good at
that. You can be quiet as you want, but like, I mean, if you're out fishing for like a tournament, sure, be quiet and stuff. But like, if you're out to fish, like, you're out to have a good time usually. You're not there to be super strict about like everything.
Wait, okay. Have you been in a tournament?
Kind of. I've been in
kind of.
It was like a
low key
tournament.
Yeah.
It was like,
oh, just for fun. Those are the best.
It was like for the soldiers. It was like Wounded Warriors.
Oh, wow.
Nice.
The project. Wounded Warrior. Oh, what's the last one? It's not Project.
I think it is, yeah. Oh, Wounded Warrior Project.
Okay. Yeah.
I've seen the commercials.
Yeah.
Cool.
For that.
You have any last questions, meanwhile?
Yeah. If there was one thing you would want people to know about fishing, what would it be?
You don't have to be a hick to fish.
Put down the quote, Char.
Yeah, really.
Oh, man.
That's a good ending.
Yes, thank you very much,
All right, thanks, Greg, for your fun friendship fishing segment.
Woo! But now he's going to join us for our drinking segment.
Yes, he is.
Let's start drinking, anyways.
Let me tell you. Let me unwrap it.
Oh, yes.
Oh, gosh. Okay, so to be completely honest, I just went to Price Cutter not too long ago to go get this because I kind of forgot.
Is it expired?
I don't know. But it's called a Turbo Dog.
Oh, I've heard of that.
Yeah, it is a dark drink, which I think Andrew will not like. So I'm going to make that prediction. It says, inside every dog, there's a turbo dog ready to break free. This very rich dog. Oh, wait. This good dog has a rich, dark color and body with a sweet chocolate toffee-like flavor. Turbo Dog is powered by pale caramel and chocolate malts and Willamette hops for runaway good times.
Run away.
So we'll see if he likes it or not. All right, here's cups. Okay. Cups for everyone.
Distribute the glasses.
Me grab bottle opener.
Because... Can I get one of those on the keys again?
You take yours off?
Yeah, I don't know why.
Lame. Oh, gosh. Oh, it's no. It's bubbling mistake. Opening. I mean, it's bubbling open.
Oh, wait!
Sorry.
Sickness.
Okay, I'm not sick.
She
I just
slurped
to...
up the foam.
What? Why is that such a bad thing?
Because
jeez.
You didn't...
I didn't even, like, taste it that much. Okay, you guys will be fine.
I like the smell. Good scent. I was going to print off a list of adjectives so I could sound really educated, and I forgot to do that.
Oh, no, I might have given you guys more. Oh, wait, never mind. Whoa, okay, that's enough.
All right, clink the glasses.
Cheers.
Friendship.
Great body.
I like it.
Wow, that's really good. Yes. You like it, Andrew?
Yeah, I like it.
Wow, I'm really surprised. What do you like about it?
Well, rich flavor. See, I need a list of adjectives.
Just read off the bottle.
Yes, yes. But no, it's not like super carbonated, and I hate carbonated beers, like ones that have a lot of that. It's got, like, how would you describe the flavor? Taking a sip.
I don't know. Greg, I'm at a loss for words.
Expert,
Greg,
expert
help
opinion.
Us out.
Let's see.
Everyone like starts talking. They just like long silence as they take a sip.
So I think on the first drag, it feels like an IPA that you're about to drink.
I've never heard anyone pronounce it like that before.
It's like the strong, like bitter flavor. You get it very first, but it like goes away kind of immediately.
I can really taste the caramel.
Yeah, but it's pleasant after that. But it's hard to, like, really nail down what those flavors are. But, it tastes great. It's like a perfect beer for this time of year. It's still cold. Like, if I was drinking this midsummer, like, that wouldn't be that great, you know?
Mm. Reminds me of a
Guinness. Greg really is an expert in many things.
Yes. Permanent staple in the
But, yeah, segment. I can definitely taste the caramel. The chocolate toffee-like flavor.
It reminds me of a Guinness I once had.
Really?
Yeah.
I wasn't too fond of Guinness, but that's okay.
Yeah, just add that to the list.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm actually a really big fan of it. It's not too heavy. I thought it would be more like a stout, and it's not. Mm-hmm. And I'm kind of thankful for that because I wasn't prepared to drink a stout tonight. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's so good. I'm going to buy it. Everyone buy it. Turbo Dog. There's a picture of a funky looking dog on the front. It says Abita Brewing from Louisiana, I think. Is that what L.A. is?
Yeah.
Yeah, Abita Springs, L.A. Hmm. Louisiana.
Or Los Angeles?
Andrew?
No. Sorry.
But yeah, everyone check it out. It's worth it. All right. Yeah. End of the segment.
Yeah, cheers. Yeah.
Oh, you want to do another cheers or?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, we're good. We good.
All right, moving on. That was Greg.
Sorry.
This is our pop culture segment, and we're going to do a little bit differently this time. Usually, we have both seen a movie, and we just compare opinions. But this time, we're just going to discuss one movie apiece, and the other will provide some input. So, you want to start, Manuela?
Sure. The movie I'm going to talk about is The Riot and the Dance. As I mentioned earlier, I saw it in theaters, one time only exclusive event for Monday, March 19th. And, the movie is basically, a nature documentary, The Riot and the Dance, symbolizing that even in nature, we can see evidence of the fall, but then we can also rejoice and dance in the beauty that God has provided for us. And it was so good. I love nature documentaries so much. And so seeing it was amazing because I've seen so many just regular science documentaries where a lot of scientists will not point to God as the artist behind all of it. And they'll marvel at the beauty, but a lot of evolution and a lot of... just secular points of views. And so it was really awesome to be able to sit down and listen and watch this movie that was directed by someone that I respect in the Christian world. And it was his name's Indy Wilson. He's the one who directed it. He's written some good books. And his uncle was the biologist that was basically narrating the movie. And it was his studies that he was doing because he loves the study of life and all that God has created. So yeah, it was cool because he really put into perspective the brilliance of God and the, like the awe and astounding feelings that can come when we see what God has created. Because for example, one of the propaganda was on the movie and he was talking about how jellyfish just completely blow his mind. Cause it really is just like a bag of jelly with some nerves in it. And like they don't even have brains. Like that's just crazy. And then also in the movie, they highlighted these little lizards that that are attracted to light because there's moths that are also attracted to light and they're the ones that eat the moths. And it was so cool because this guy was talking about how God knows he wired these animals to desire certain things and then he readily provides it. And I just thought that was amazing because yeah, like, how am I supposed to know to feed a lizard out in my front porch? Like, the guy was joking and he was like, we can keep the eggs and bacon to ourselves because these lizards will take the moths. But I don't know. I just think nature is astounding. And to hear and see all that was just created and beautiful and amazing from Christian perspectives and to give glory to God, I thought was truly amazing. And this world, and also, yeah, that there's like a verse that's like all creation groans for like the coming of Christ. And you could just see in these little animal segments that I saw just animals that are killing each other and like doing bad things to one another because it is just another result of the fall. I don't know. I guess I don't think about it in nature too much as also being affected by the fall, but it is. And I just think that's amazing. And there were some great speakers on it that also talked about why they love creation and stuff, but oh, I just thought it was amazing.
Nice. Yeah, it's too bad that's not a viewpoint that's seen more like in media, pop culture. But yeah, so what would you rate it?
Oh, I would rate it definitely a 10 out of 10, or an A, sorry. I forgot that we always do letters. Yeah, I would definitely give it an A, and there's a part 2 coming out, The Riot and the Dance Water Edition.
When is that?
This was just the land. I think it's in 2019.
Okay,
so nice. Save your tickets. Reserve your seats.
Oh, man.
All right, let's talk about your movie. Unless you have more questions, but if not, it's okay.
I don't think I do at the moment.
Okay,
but
that's
I might
fine.
Jump back. All right, so my movie is The Martian. It came out in 2015, but I just saw it for the first time 2 nights ago. And it's based off of a book from that was published in 2011. And basically the premise of a movie is there's this NASA crew that is on Mars, and there's 6 of them. And they have a mission to be on Mars for 31 Martian solar days, and this storm takes place, like this heavy dust, whatever you want to call it, takes place about 18 days into it, and they have to leave because if not, like, it could, like, knock over their ship that's going to take them back. But when they're running to their ship, one of their crew members... The character's name is Mark Watney, but he's played by Matt Damon, and he gets hit by some like loose piece of equipment, and they're like calling for him and everything, and they think he's died because if he got hit by something, like his suit's been punctured, and he could only survive for 60 seconds before like he would suffocate or implode or whatever happens on Mars. So anyways, they leave without him, and then you find out later on that he survived, that whatever, like, punctured him, like, it, he, like, got impaled by, like, a rod of some sort, but he, it, like, sealed his suit so that he was still able to have oxygen. So anyways, he's all alone on Mars, and he's thinking he's gonna die, because these people just left, and the next Mars mission isn't for another 4 years or something like that. But then he gets to thinking, wait, I can ration my food. And then he's like, wait a second, I can grow food. And so then he starts like planting potatoes and uses the waste from him and his crew members that's like been sealed, like after they like flushed it down the toilet. So the movie's just basically about him, like, planning and overcoming challenges that he faces. And it's just, like, really cool how, just, like, how proactive he is and, like, ahead of the curve on everything. And how he's just constantly thinking of, like, what's the next thing he needs to do to, like, potentially stay alive and just, like, keep on going after that. So some famous people in the movie, Kristen Wiig, mm-hmm, and Donald Glover. Mm-hmm. Childish Gambino for,
oh yeah,
people that don't know his real name. But then also, so the probably second like star billing in the movie is Jessica Chastain, and she was Celia Foote in The Help. Have you seen The Help?
I actually haven't seen The Help.
That doesn't surprise me.
All right.
You should see it though. It's a really good movie.
Rude.
but then two other people in the movie, Kate Mara, who plays Zoe Barnes in House of Cards.
Okay.
And you're going to like this one. Askel Henny, and he played the Russian guy on The Cloverfield Paradox. Like the one that got like the worms inside of him.
Oh,
and everything.
Interesting.
Yeah, so it's like, I guess this actor just likes space movies. You know? but also,
we all have our thing.
Interestingly enough, I think everyone in this movie, like of the astronauts, they were all American. Except for this guy, he played a German.
Interesting.
So he always plays like a non-American in the in these space movies.
That's okay.
But yeah, no, it was funny comparing this to Cloverfield Paradox because the crew was like very chummy. They like all got along really well. Whereas in Cloverfield Paradox, everyone was like kind of fighting each other, and when the tensions rose, they were like not having it. And also, they had It was just like the element I talked about earlier of how Mark Watney had to like think through situations and like what he had to do next to survive, mm-hmm, and just what happens when people are left with materials in their brain. They just got to work through things.
Yeah.
So the movie itself was good, but it seemed kind of long. It was just really long.
I
checked my watch several times.
Wow. Did you really not like it?
It was just,
See, I don't like long movies either, but I was completely captivated by it.
Yeah,
I guess I just love space.
I think I enjoy character development more than, like, little, like, I don't know, tinkering kind of things. Because this was very much like a tinkering, like, thought process. Like, what's he thinking? How's he going to, like, what's the technical thing he's going to do next?
All right, well,
unimpressed.
Right now. I don't like your analysis of this movie. I guess, you know, just another thing we don't have in common.
I would give it a B-.
All right, bad. I would give it an A+.
Okay.
But it's fine.
Yeah, how would you critique the movie?
Well, see, I guess, again, we're opposites, because I just liked seeing the development of his little farm and everything he was trying to do. And then the end scene when he had to, like, That was so intense, and I was like, is he gonna make it?
He poked a hole in his glove, he's like, I'm gonna Iron Man it, and then he's like flying like in loose space
Why can't you just appreciate art?
They did like have a nice little artistic element, because like the orange ribbon was like flowing around loosely in space when he and the captain were like trying to grab arms. That was cool, but it was just like, if you were in that situation, would you do that? I wouldn't. I wouldn't poke a hole in my glove and like, I'm going to spitball it and hope that I, like,
okay, well, it's also a movie.
Yeah. So, but
not all movies are real, Andrew.
You need like a real component to it, though.
Well,
you can't just have people doing things willy-nilly.
Man, I wish the soundboard was working. If it's been extra quiet this episode, it's because the soundboard, my iPad died.
Because Manuela wasn't prepared.
But anyway, I wish I had it right now so I could boo you.
Okay, sorry.
All right, well, let's move on to the quote jar because we're running out of time.
Okay.
All right, close your eyes and you're going to pick a quote. Are your eyes closed? Okay.
They're closed.
All right, open it.
All right, one hand in it.
You're actually using two hands.
This is a quote that we used in a previous episode.
Oh, all right.
We got to change that up a bit. But is it me or are pirates just hobos with earrings?
Fact or fiction?
I'm
going to say fact. Or real or fake, I guess.
Yeah, real.
I don't.
It's fake, if we're going to use that terminology.
Lame. It's,
the quote is from Velma Dinkley in Scooby-Doo Mystery Incorporated.
Oh my gosh.
Probably the third best Scooby-Doo franchise of all time.
All right. Aren't there like four franchises?
Or I should reword that. Television incarnation. And there's like 14 television incarnations.
Okay.
But we can say that for another episode. I'll talk at length about Scooby-Doo. But isn't that... But think about that though.
Wait, like, say it again.
Is it just me or are pirates hobos with earrings?
I mean, accurate.
Yeah.
They rummage around for things and...
Yeah.
Sometimes...
They're smelly.
I read this quote that was like... pirates go all over the world searching for treasure when the real treasure is the friendship that's built among them during the search. Isn't that awesome?
Pirate friendship!
Pirate friendship rocks!
Too good.
All right, any more concluding remarks or can I close us out?
I think we're good.
All right, well, thanks for joining us, everyone.
Two Friends with Nothing in Common is produced by Manuela Lenz and Andrew Minky. Special thanks to this week's guest, Greg Kelly. Two Friends with Nothing in Common is recorded in the Ozarks.